Hey, good morning, early risers. How you guys doing? Welcome, welcome, welcome. So glad you're here this morning. Want to welcome those of you that are online as well. If you happen to be a guest online or here in person, let me introduce myself. My name is Brian Anderson. I'm one of the pastors here. Where I'm going to be teaching out of the Bible, we're going to be through the book of Proverbs today. So if you have a Bible, you have an app, we're going to begin in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 11. That's where we'll begin. We're going to be all kinds of verses in the book of Proverbs as we study that together this morning. Before we get into that, I just want to make mention of our offering. You know, there are lots of ways that you and I can give financially back to God, which is a big part of our discipleship. And I know many of you are incredibly generous and faithful in doing that. Thank you. May the Lord bless us whenever we give back to Him. In fact, we're going to pause right now just for a moment and ask God to bless our offerings back to Him whenever we give those. But most importantly, as we pray, would you open your heart to God right now? And would you say to God from your heart, Lord, would you speak to me out of the Bible this morning? Okay, would you pray with me? Lord, as we give back to you, whenever we do that, we pray that you would take our gifts, our tithes, our offerings. You would use those to lift up and glorify the name of Jesus. But you would also use those, God, to bless people in real tangible ways. God, bless our gifts, but also bless us in being faithful to you with our finances, oh God. And now, Lord, as we look into the scriptures, we do pray, each one of us, whether we're online or in person, God, would you speak to me out of the Bible today, whatever I need to hear from you. Lord, speak very clearly, and I know, God, for that to happen, that I need your empowering as I deliver this message, and so I ask for that right now. Empower me, fill me, use me, God, for your glory today, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Excuse me. Can I get a headset?
Certainly.
Thank you. Miss?
I'll be right there, sir.
Where's your headset?
She's busy right now, but it's coming.
Ma'am?
Could you give me a second, sir?
Excuse me. Could I maybe get that headset, please?
Do not raise your voice to me, sir.
I wasn't raising my voice.
Okay. Just calm down.
I am calm. I just want my headset.
Sir, our country is going through a very difficult time right now, and if you're not going to cooperate...
I don't know where a headset ties into patriotism.
Is there a problem here, sir?
I don't think so.
Can you come to the back of the plane with me so we can have a talk?
A talk about what? There's not a problem. The stewardess just keeps...
Flight attendant.
The flight attendant keeps ignoring me when I ask...
Calm down. This is a very difficult time for our country.
I know that. I just want to watch the movie.
I'm only going to say this one more time, sir. Calm down.
I'll calm!
So, as you might have guessed, we're going to talk about the subject of anger this morning. And I think you probably agree that in our society, it seems like most people don't really know how to manage their anger. I mean, violence is on the rise. Crime is on the rise. Profanity is on the rise. I mean, I could spend 10 minutes talking to you about all the statistics about this that most of you probably know, a lot of them at least. Half of the murders in America today occur between family members. Why? Because of anger. 342 kids are arrested for violent crimes every single day. 14 kids are murdered every single day. I mean, the statistics go on and on. So what's the problem? The problem is people do not know how to handle and control their anger. So we're going to look today at what God says about how we're to manage our anger. And the first thing I want you to know is that the Bible says that anger is not always a sin. Just because you're angry does not mean that you're sinning. The Bible says that God gets angry, Obviously, he doesn't sin. The Bible says that when Jesus was on this earth, he got angry. So obviously, anger is not always a sin. It's how you express your anger that determines whether it's sinful or not. See, when God created you as a human being, he wired you in such a way that you would have the ability to get angry. God gave you that capacity to get angry. And that's actually a really good thing. But if you don't learn how to use it wisely, it will destroy you. However, if you use your anger correctly, managed anger actually becomes an asset. You say, well, Brian, what do you mean? Well, there are certain things in life that the only proper response to is to get angry. For example, when you see somebody being taken advantage of, or when you see an injustice done of some kind, or when somebody hurts one of your children in some way, anger is an appropriate response. I mean, if you don't get angry in those kinds of situations, it means you don't care. It means you don't really love anybody. So again, I am not saying that God says we need to get rid of all of our anger. What I am saying is that God says you and I need to learn to manage our anger appropriately. And the good news is that in the book of Proverbs, God gives us several keys that will help us to manage our anger appropriately if we put them into practice in our life. And by the way, you know, this series is about learning how to live a successful life, keys to living a successful life. And if you want to live a successful life, at least in God's eyes, but probably in the eyes of other people as well, then managing your anger appropriately is a non-negotiable. So how do we do it? First of all, we need to make a decision that we're going to control our anger. And what I mean by that is you need to quit saying that you can't control your anger and start realizing that you can. Some of you need to stop making excuses and start accepting responsibility for your actions. I had to turn to Proverbs chapter 29, verse 11. It says, a fool always loses his temper. Are you a fool? But a wise person, a wise man, holds it back. See, holding back our anger is wise. And it's also an act of our will. It's something that we choose to do. In fact, the truth is that anger is almost always a choice. When I'm angry, I'm almost always choosing to be angry. We don't really like to admit this, but we have a whole lot more control over our anger than we want to admit. For example, have you ever been in an argument with someone, maybe a friend, maybe your spouse, maybe one of your kids, maybe a coworker? You're in an argument and, you know, words are being exchanged and things are starting to escalate and it's getting pretty hot between the two of you, and all of a sudden your cell phone rings. And you look at it, and it's a friend of yours that you want to talk about. Or excuse me, you want to talk to. And so you've been going back and forth, well, yeah, back and forth. And all of a sudden you answer the phone. Hello? What happened? You made a choice at that moment that you didn't want to express or show your anger to whoever was on the telephone. So we have a lot more control over our anger than we oftentimes think we do. That's why the Bible says we need to make a decision that we're going to control our anger on a regular basis. And by the way, the best way to do that is you have to decide in advance. And what I mean by in advance, you have to decide now. I'm going to begin to control my anger from this point forward. That's the first step if you want to control your anger. Second step in controlling your anger, realize the cost if you don't control it. See, if I realize that all anger has a price tag to it, I'm more likely to control it. We're in Proverbs 29, look at verse 22. An angry man stirs up strife, and a hot-tempered man abounds in transgression. See, this is saying that anger oftentimes leads to other sins. Have you found that to be true? Have you ever been around somebody who's really mad, who did something really stupid, put their fist through a wall, said something that they wished they wouldn't have said, started yelling, screaming, cussing, whatever? I mean, there are all kinds of costs involved in allowing yourself to get angry. Look back at the second half of verse 22 again. A hot-tempered man abounds in transgression. See, this is saying that when you lose your temper, you lose. You lose. You may lose your reputation. You may lose the love of your spouse. You may lose the respect of your children. You may lose your job. But when you let your anger go uncontrolled in your life, you lose. It's not worth it. Now, I know, parents, a lot of times, are tempted to use anger to try to motivate their kids. And why do parents do that? Because it works. In the short term, it works. When you get really angry at your kids, you might be able to motivate them through fear for a little while. But in the long run, you're going to lose, because the end result of anger is alienation. You alienate the very people you love the most. Anger always has a cost. Third step in controlling my anger, I need to learn to control my mouth. My mouth. Look at Proverbs 21:23. He who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from troubles. You know what your soul is? Your soul is made up of three parts. It's made up of your mind, your emotions, and your will. You want to save your mind, your emotions, and your will from a whole lot of trouble? Learn how to guard your mouth and your tongue. That's what this is saying. This is saying when we learn to have our keep our mouth shut, we're going to stay out of a whole lot of trouble. See, God is saying here in many places in the Bible that anger largely is a matter of mouth control. The problem is we love to talk, don't we? But the more we talk, the more likely we are to say the wrong thing. Proverbs 10, when there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. Unavoidable. Sin is unavoidable when there are many words. But it says, he who restrains his lips is wise. We all need to learn how to restrain our mouths. Very famous verse by the Apostle James, who's the half-brother of Jesus. He says in James 1, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Not that you never get angry, but you're slow to anger. Now, if you do the first two of those, if you're quick to hear and you're slow to speak, you're almost automatically slow to anger. On the other hand, if you flip those, if you're slow to hear and you're quick to speak, you're probably going to be quick to anger. The Bible says a big part of controlling my anger is I need to restrain my mouth. And by the way, the Bible also says something really challenging in James chapter 3. If you want to read an entire chapter about the mouth and the tongue, Read James chapter 3. And one of the challenging things it says in there is that nobody can control their tongue in their own power. Nobody. It takes God's power to enable us to control our mouths. Let me read you just one verse out of James 3. We all stumble in many ways. So true, right? But if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man. That means a mature person. Able to bridle the whole body as well. If you want to bridle your body, if you want to have victory in your life over anger, you need to control your mouth. And controlling your mouth begins with asking God to help you control your mouth. I know all about this. You know, some of you know my testimony. I became a follower of Jesus when I was a senior in college. And all my life, I had used my mouth as a weapon against other people. I was an athlete growing up. I played baseball, football, and basketball all through high school. Got a baseball scholarship to play baseball, to play college in baseball. But I played all the sports growing up, and I was always sort of small in stature and athletics. I wasn't always this big, massive hunk of a human being that you see now. I was smaller at one time. And so I would use my mouth as a weapon. I would use it to get into other people's heads that were on the other team. I would use it to cut people down. I had a terrible potty mouth. Four-letter words were really the only adjectives that I knew. I mean, just my mouth was that way. And when I became a Christian, my spirit got saved immediately. My mouth did not. Has that ever happened to you? A portion of your life did not get saved, did not get sanctified when your spirit did. That happened to me. So I had to really, really work at it. And one of the things that I learned is I needed to start asking God to help me. That's what James 3 is about. So I would pray all the time, oh God, would you help me get control of my mouth? And you know the other thing I did? I went through and I memorized, I think, every verse in the Bible that talks about the tongue, the mouth, the lips. Why did I do that? Because I needed it. I needed to learn to get this thing under control. You want to overcome your anger? You need to learn to control your mouth. Ask God to help you. And if you have a challenging mouth like I did, I would encourage you, start memorizing verses about the tongue. Fourth part of learning to control my anger, I need to reflect before I react. Reflect before reacting. Back to Proverbs 29, verse 11, a fool always loses his temper, but a wise man, underline this part, a wise man holds it back. You know what that's talking about? It's talking about delay. Delay is a tremendous remedy for anger. Now, I do not mean delaying indefinitely, because anger delayed indefinitely turns into bitterness. And bitterness is always a sin. Anger is not always a sin. So you do need to deal with your anger after a while. But if you respond impulsively when you're angry, you're most likely going to respond in an angry manner. So if you would just wait a little bit, let yourself cool down, and think about what you're going to say before you say it, you'll be responding in a much more rational, reasonable way. So you need to think before you speak. Reflect before you react. You say, well, Brian, what do I do while I'm delaying? Well, you try to figure out why you're angry. You try to understand it. Because the more you understand yourself, the more understanding you're going to be of other people. So what do? You try to analyze and ask yourself three questions. First of all, why am I angry? What's the cause behind this? Second of all, what do I really want out of this situation? And third of all, how can I get it? Now, obviously, blowing up, yelling, cussing, throwing things, that's rarely the way that you're going to get what you want, right? Now, you need to realize that anger is almost never your first emotion. Almost never. Anger is almost always your second or your third emotion. And there are usually one of three other emotions that you feel before you get angry. Those three emotions are hurt, frustration, or fear. Hurt, frustration, or fear. When you're hurt, you usually get angry. You ever hit your thumb with a hammer really hard? You ever get angry afterwards? Or do you just say, bam, bless the Lord? No, we don't know how to deal with the emotion of hurt, so it oftentimes kicks over into anger. And that includes not only physical hurt, but emotional hurt. When somebody hurts you emotionally, oftentimes you don't really know how to deal with that emotion, so it evolves into anger. And by the way, if you're married, this is super important for you to understand. Because a lot of times when your spouse is angry at you, what's really going on is that you've hurt them in some way. And it's coming out as anger. And so if your spouse is angry, you need to find out if you've hurt them in some way. And if you have, then you need to ask them to forgive you and tell them that you're sorry. Second of all, frustration also causes anger. You know, anytime we have to wait, anytime something is out of our control, when a goal that you're trying to achieve gets thwarted in some way, we get frustrated. And again, oftentimes we don't know how to deal with frustration, so it kicks over into anger. And then the third emotion, we almost always get angry when we feel afraid. When you feel threatened or you feel afraid of someone or something, oftentimes that will evolve into anger. So if we can delay our reaction, take a step back, and begin to understand why are we feeling angry right now, it's so much easier to deal with your anger. Fifth step, controlling my anger. I need to release my anger appropriately. Like Paul says, be angry and yet do not sin. It's not always a sin to be angry. Be angry, but don't be sinful. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. So like I said multiple times, just because you're angry does not mean you're sinning. Not automatically a sin. No, there are appropriate ways and there are inappropriate ways to express your anger. So let me give you three ways to not express your anger. The first one is don't suppress it. What I mean by that is don't store it up inside. Because when you store it up inside, it's like taking a can of soda and shaking it and shaking it and shaking it and shaking it. Eventually, it's going to explode. In fact, people who suppress their anger oftentimes end up having physical maladies that begin to happen to them. Things like headaches, backaches, ulcers, heart problems, stomach problems. Suppressed anger oftentimes comes out that way. Second way not to deal with your anger, don't repress it. What I mean by that is basically you're denying it. You're pushing it down. You're denying that you're angry. You ever talk to anybody you can tell they're really angry and yet they deny it? You say to them, why are you so angry? I'm not angry. I'm fine. Yes, my husband's an alcoholic. Yes, we have all kinds of problems because of his alcoholism. He's totally responsible, but everything's fine. I'm not angry. Yes, my wife spends more money than we could ever possibly make in our lifetimes. We're in all kinds of debt, but everything's okay. We're fine. That's called denial. You're repressing your anger. And when you repress your anger long enough, you know what's going to happen? It's going to freeze inside of you. And you know what frozen anger really is? There's a word for it. It's called depression. Frozen anger oftentimes turns into depression. So if you're depressed, it may be because you've been repressing and denying the anger that you have inside. And I would encourage you, if you're depressed, to see a professional counselor, a Christian counselor. So don't suppress your anger. Don't repress your anger. And the third way not to deal with your anger is don't express it in inappropriate ways. You say, what do you mean? Well, some people express their anger by pouting. Some of you in this room, some of you online, you have a PhD. You have a doctorate in pouting. When you're angry, your lip gets about 5 inches long. Everybody has to walk on eggshells around you. Everybody has to baby you because you're upset. Others of you, you express your anger by being sarcastic. You're just cutting people down and, you know, using your mouth as a weapon, like I talked about me doing earlier. Other people, they express their anger by manipulation. Maybe this is you. Some of you, your thought process is like this. I don't get mad, I get even. You figure out a way to get back. Maybe it's by being passive aggressive. Maybe it's something else. But you figure out a way to get back at them and express your anger. And then there's a whole lot of other crazy behaviors that people use to express their anger. Some people have affairs. Some people get drunk. Some people yell, scream, throw things, cuss, all that. So how do we express our anger appropriately? You don't suppress it. You don't repress it. You don't express it in inappropriate ways. What you do is you confess it. You confess it. You admit your anger. And you not only admit your anger, but you also admit why you're angry. You admit the cause. You know, I'm feeling angry right now because I feel really hurt by you. I feel angry right now because I'm feeling afraid of you. I feel angry right now because I feel frustrated over what's been happening at work. I feel angry right now because I feel threatened. That's how you express your anger appropriately. You admit that you're angry and you admit the cause of your anger. And by the way, did you know that anger is like super contagious too? The Bible tells us that over and over and over. You know, just one example, Proverbs 22. Says, don't associate with a man given to anger or go with a hot-tempered man. Why not? Lest you learn his ways and you find a snare for yourself. You learn his ways. I mean, we see contagious anger happening all over families these days. I mean, dad is super stressed out, gets really angry at mom. Mom turns around and takes her anger out on big brother. Big brother turns around and takes his anger out on little sister. Little sister goes out and kicks the dog. The dog comes in and barks at the baby. The baby bites the head off of the Barbie doll. And the cycle just keeps repeating. Anger is contagious. If you are a parent and you have an anger problem, there's a very good possibility that your kids will have anger problems also. That's why it's so important for us to learn how to express our anger in appropriate ways. Look back at verse 25. Don't associate with a man given to anger or go with a hot-tempered man. Why not? Lest you learn, that's the key word, learn his ways and find a snare for yourself. You know what that means? That means how you and I express our anger is a learned behavior. It didn't just come naturally. You learned to be a pouter. You learned to be a manipulator. You learned to be an exploder. You may have learned it from friends growing up. You may have learned it from your parents. You may have learned it from one of your siblings. You may have learned it from television. All kinds of places you might have learned it. But you learned it. So here's the good news. Since inappropriate ways of expressing our anger are learned, that means that those ways can be unlearned. Unlearned. You don't have to go the rest of your life exploding on other people when you're angry. You don't have to go the rest of your life being a pouter all the time. You don't have to go the rest of your life being sarcastic. You can learn to express your anger appropriately. You know, maybe you grew up in a home where anger was focused on you in a very inappropriate way. Maybe your parents focused their anger. They exploded on you. They were pouters or whatever. But maybe their anger or a sibling's anger was focused on you in a way that just really, really wounded you. It hurt a lot. I want you to know, you don't have to be that way with your kids. Just because your parents were that way with you, you don't have to be that way. You don't have to be that way with your spouse or with your friends. No, the good news is you can change with God's help. You can change. It's not going to be easy. You're going to have to work at it. In fact, I want to give you a couple of recommended Christian books about anger. Maybe you've never read a book, Christian book about anger. The first one is called Make Anger Your Ally by Neil Clark Warren. Another good one is The Language of Love, very famous book over the years by Gary Smalley. That's a really good book to show you how to get your point across without being cross. How to get your point across to another person without being cross. So, if I'm going to learn how to control my mouth, and I'm going to learn how to reflect before I react, and if I'm going to learn how to release my anger appropriately, I don't know about you, but I know I can't do all that stuff on my own. I just can't. That's why we have to go to the last part of managing our anger appropriately. We need to ask God to help us. Ask God to help us. And the good news is he will, if you ask him. And you know how he will help you? He will go to the root cause. And God says the root cause of your anger is what's in your heart. See, whatever's inside of you, when the world puts pressure on you like the world does, that's what's going to squeeze out all over everybody around you. Sort of like a tube of toothpaste. You know, if you squeeze a tube of toothpaste hard enough, what's going to come out of the tube? Toothpaste, right? Whatever's in your heart, when the world puts its squeeze on you, that's what's going to go all over everybody. If you're filled with frustration, and then the world puts its squeeze on you, which happens all the time, then you're going to squirt frustration all over everybody. If you're filled with anger in your heart, when the world puts its squeeze on you, you're going to just explode anger all over everyone. See, what's in your heart is what comes out. So you know what we need? We need a heart change. That's what we need. And the good news is, when a person surrenders their life fully to Jesus Christ, he gives you a brand new heart. He really does. That's what Jesus does. In fact, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, really in Christ, not just a lip service thing, they're in Christ, what happens? They become a new creature. They get a new heart. Old things are passed away. All things become new. You know what Jesus calls that? Jesus calls that being born again. You know, maybe you've heard that term before, but maybe you didn't realize that actually Jesus is the one who coined that phrase. One time in John chapter 3, Jesus is talking to a guy, a religious leader named Nicodemus. And Jesus said, Nicodemus, you know what your problem is? You need to be born again. Nicodemus says, I can't be born again. I can't climb up into my mom's womb and be born again. Jesus says, no, that's not what I'm talking about. You were born once physically. Now you need to be born again spiritually. And the way that you're born again is by surrendering your life completely to me, Jesus says. That's how a person is born again. And some of you that are online, some of you in this room, you've never been born again. You could be born again today. You could completely surrender your life to Jesus and get a brand new heart and be born again today. You could. And then others of you, the vast majority of you, you have been born again. But for some of you, you've never allowed Jesus to really deal with your anger. You have to make a decision that you're going to deal with it. Because when Jesus deals with your anger, you know what he does? He goes to the root cause. He replaces your hurt, if that's why you're angry. He replaces your hurt with his love. Maybe you've been abused. Maybe you've been neglected. Maybe there's just all kinds of hurt stored up. Jesus can come in and replace that hurt with his love. He can replace your frustration. Maybe that's why you're angry. He can replace that with his supernatural peace. And when you say, you know, God, I just can't control my anger. You know what God says? That's okay, because I'll help you. Turn to me. Trust me. I'll help you. See, anger dissipates when the peace that passes understanding begins coming into your life. And only Jesus can do that. Would you pray with me? Come, Holy Spirit, into every place where people are watching online, into every heart in this room. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would have your way, whatever that is, into every circumstance, every life, every heart. You know, if you've never been born again, you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, you need to today. That's why you're here. Jesus loves you, and he wants to have a relationship with you. In a few minutes, we're going to have a ministry team up here at the front. If you're in person, you need to come and talk to one of these ministry team members and say, you know, I don't think I've ever been born again, but I want to be. You can do that online by just clicking the prayer button anytime. Or maybe the truth is you've been born again, but you're far from God. You're living your life far from God. You need to rededicate your life this morning, right now. And I would encourage you to come to the altar afterwards and tell one of our ministry team members about your rededication. Ask them to pray for you. Maybe there's something else that you need to get right with God, especially in this area of anger. Maybe you just need to make a decision. God, I've never really made a decision that I want to change. I don't want to keep being an exploder. I don't want to keep being a manipulator, sarcastic. I don't want to use my mouth as a weapon anymore. God, would you help me? Maybe something else. But I think there's a couple of groups of people that God is highlighting that he wants to minister to this morning. That's for some of you. Just stay in an attitude of prayer. Some of you have really been wounded by somebody else's anger that was directed at you. Maybe a parent, maybe a step-parent, maybe a spouse, maybe an ex-spouse, maybe a sibling, maybe a friend, ex-friend, maybe a coworker, a boss. But you've really been wounded. and you need Jesus to begin to heal your woundedness. I believe Jesus wants to really go deep in some of you this morning and begin to do that. If that's you, I want to strongly encourage you to receive prayer. God is pointing you out. He cares about your pain. And I would encourage you to receive prayer this morning, especially if you're in person, but also if you're online. And then the second group of people that God wants to minister to today are those of you that are brave enough to say, you know what, I've been the one doing the wounding. I wounded my kids, I wounded my spouse, I wounded coworkers, whoever it is. And I don't want to do that anymore, and I'm so sorry, I need to be healed. I want to encourage you to receive prayer as well, both online or in person. It takes a courageous person to do that, to come to the front afterwards and say, you know what, I'm the one. I'm the one doing the wounding. I need healing. I guarantee you, you will be loved and you will be prayed for and you will be accepted. Maybe there's some other area that you'd like prayer for before you go. We'd love to pray for you, whatever it is. You know, next weekend, I'm going to continue teaching on this series. I hope you're here. We have a special treat next weekend. And our youth are going to be in our services, especially, you know, we have youth services that happen simultaneously during big church. We call this big church. They happen at the 5 p.m. on Saturday night and at the 11 o'clock. So I don't know how many youth will be in this service, but we'll have a lot of them in the 11 o'clock especially. But be praying that God really blesses our youth as they come in. They're going to lead worship and so forth. So it's going to be a really fun time. I hope that you'll make it a priority to be here next weekend. Would everybody please stand? I want to pray a blessing over us before we go. And if the ministry team would begin your way to the front, that would be great. Lord, thank you for all my friends. And I pray as they go their separate ways, Lord, that you would bless each one. Bless them, keep them, cause your face to shine on them. Be gracious to them, God. Give them your peace. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Say hi to a bunch of people on your way out. Have a great rest of your day. See you soon.